Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sports Desk with Liam and Caleb here on your Wednesday morning. How are you, Caleb?
Fantastic. Yeah, great to be here. Just coming off my indefinite suspension from Collingwood, so coming in fresh. Can't wait to go.
Did you work for the Salvation Army on the weekend?
Yeah, nothing like that. Just rode my bike in this morning, though.
Yeah, of course, of course.
We're going to be chatting a bit of AFL Women's this morning, also AFLX, whether we liked it or not. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Going to be chatting a little bit about the NBA, because it's come off the All-Star Week, and also going to chuck in a little bit of Winter Olympics in there right at the end. But first off, we're going to talk AFL Women's, and probably one of the biggest stories that came out of the week was Taylor Harris's suspension.
Yes, and in the defense of Taylor Harris, she is a boxer. And by all accounts, a pretty good boxer.
Yeah. Really? Okay, I didn't know that.
That's her main reason to move to Melbourne, actually.
Yeah, okay.
So for her defense, if she actually wanted to hit, I can't remember who she hit, she probably would have knocked her out. So it was a little punch. Apparently, like I said, apparently she's quite a good boxer as well.
Yeah.
So she actually wanted to throw a left hook, you know.
Interesting. I couldn't really find any of the footage. I've been away all weekend, so I didn't get to watch too many of the games live. I was watching a lot of highlights, but I couldn't find any of the footage of the hit, but I just saw this one very pixelated picture, and it seems like she's in the bottom of a tackle and got
It's a very soft punch. I actually didn't watch the game. I saw Black Panther.
Oh, nice.
Yes, while the game was on.
A good excuse not to watch
it. Yes, yes.
One of us was camping, one of us was watching Black Panther.
Yes. but just a blatant punch, a weak suspension.
Mm.
But it kind of reminded me of, remember 2014, when Ablett was by far going to win the Brownlow until he did his shoulder. And he did that elbow to, I think, Liam Picken.
Yeah, I remember that.
Kind of reminds me of that as well, type of thing.
So a bit off play, was it?
Yeah.
Taylor Harrison? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so maybe because she's not in Ablett's league, she got off.
Well, I've just Googled Taylor Harris because I'm still trying to find the footage. And the first article that comes up is Taylor Harris aspires to be Ronda Rousey. For anyone that doesn't know who Ronda Rousey is, the UFC turned WWE champion. Yeah. So there you go. She might, I don't know if it's satire, but good on her. She's boxing around and throwing a few punches. Also, I'm rubbing my hands together because this Friday night, Carlton are playing the Western Bulldogs, and without Taylor Harris, might even the playing field a little bit more because the Dogs are obviously without Katie Brennan.
It's a better injury than I thought it was. The way she went down kind of reminded me how Joe Rafferty went down, I think, 2011 with the Achilles. Yeah, so just how easily she went down. I was like, oh, she just done her Achilles.
Yeah.
It was an ankle injury. They said she might be back, but it leads me as a Furry supporter very happy.
Yeah.
Because if somehow, especially if we can get over Brisbane, granted, you could probably say, you might not have said this, but I think the Carlton are gone with the loss of Bree Davies.
They just didn't look like they had any midfield on the weekend.
And what happened to the Doggies once they lost Katie Brennan last year? They fell apart. Freo have two good players coming back. So if they can get over Brisbane or Melbourne or Brisbane can slip up, Freo on their run home have Adelaide, GWS and Carlton.
Yeah. I mean, that Freo beating Melbourne is enormous for the game. Like, I think that was a huge statement by Freo because Brisbane were probably the other front runners, in my opinion, for the flag, and now maybe Adelaide. But everyone would think Melbourne, with their stacked list, were the favourites. And then Freo obviously got the pickies on the weekend.
Well, kicking 6-goal zip to 4-goal 7 kind of does it.
Does help a little bit,
doesn't it? That game was an absolute cracker. It was a brilliant, brilliant, gutsy performance by Freo. Something I haven't seen by both teams in a while.
Yeah, it was
like a real pure gutsy win.
And I think I watched a lot of the Western Bulldogs and Adelaide game, and it was amazing to contrast the passion and, like you said, the gutsiness of the games compared to AFL X that was also on the weekend, which had no heart in it whatsoever.
There's a few, like, I feel like, especially when Mitch Robinson kicked that winning goal against Richmond, there was a bit of, I think there was a bit of excitement before they realised, wait, this is not the proper AFL.
Yeah, this doesn't go towards anything.
Yeah, and I think it's good for, I think the Lions got a bit excited winning, you know, something.
Yes.
But last time they won something, Voss got sacked, they won the NAB Cup. And
oh,
then,
gosh.
And we'll actually get to the, well, the NAB Cup JLT series later on.
So watch your back, Chris Fagan.
Yes. I don't know, signing all these young guns and, you know,
yep,
absolutely building a good culture. Yeah, might get sacked for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, Brisbane fans should be scared. Ben, if you're listening. yes. Now, we've got written on here a little bit about your grand final theory.
Well, yeah, I was just saying that about how, Frio can get...
Brisbane
that can slip up, yeah.
Anything is possible.
Pretty much,
very optimistic as a Freo fan. You're wearing your Freo jumper today, and
I always represent my Freo team.
I do agree with you. I think, like I said earlier, if the Freo performance on the weekend was a huge message to the rest of the league, saying that we're contenders and we can do this.
Well, I say Freo's out of the top, well, we'll say the top five because they're all on two wins.
Mm-hmm.
Freo's probably third behind Melbourne and Brisbane in terms of chance now to make the grand final.
Yes, correct.
Granted, coming right off JWS, they've played one bad game.
Yep.
Which was against Carlton.
Yeah.
They played great against Melbourne, and they played fantastic against Collingwood in another great game. Collingwood's out. You know, put a line for them. Adelaide, now Erin Phillips, how good... I don't know if you've watched the game or any highlights.
Yeah.
She was inspirational.
Incredible. She got the three votes for me in my votes. I'll get to her a little bit later. Yes. But yeah, she... Four goals. She absolutely towered up the Western Bulldogs and Libby Birch, and it was... She was a league above everyone else.
And as Ben said on Monday, that she did tie with Sarah Perkins and Darcy Vesio in the most goals ever kicked in a...
Really?
In a game.
Oh, there you go.
Talking about that, you know how we spoke about how close the season is. I do want to bring up as well, if I can find my... I think this year, I like to watch... I know it's going to sound weird because a lot of criticism towards this. I want to watch for the goal kicking.
Yeah, okay.
Because you've got the leading goal kicker tomorrow is Phoebe McPherson from GWS, who kicked two snags on the weekend with six goals. And then behind her, you got Jess Woodchester, I'll say Katie Brennan, even though she's kind of ruled out now.
Yeah.
King Cunningham, who kicked, I think, two goals, three or something like that against Fremantle. All on five. Then you got Rachel Cranston, Erin Phillips, and Amy Lavelle on four. Like, it's unlike last year where Vesio leaded from the start to the end.
Mm.
Like, you want to watch and see, you know, who can kick these goals now to win. I personally find it really exciting to watch the goal kicking. Maybe... Honestly, don't know why. I just think it's,
No, I 100% agree. I think while it's been frustrating not seeing Darcy Vesio kick as many goals this year and have a bit of a quieter season, it is a lot more fascinating to see all these other people pop up and boot goals, like you said.
Well, I don't personally believe that the second season so far is better than the first.
Yeah?
I just think maybe a few reasons. One, we know more players now than we did. Like, we knew Pierce, more Hope, and all these players... before, you know, a lot more players. You see a lot more players like, oh, yeah, I know her. She's good. I had no idea who Dana Hooker was before she won her best and first.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I was watching and thinking, God, Dana Hooker's good. I know who Carla Dunallan is, and I think she's an absolute superstar. But apart from that, you really didn't know many players. And now you know a lot more, and it's more exciting because you know who these players are.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask for your opinion before we get to our votes.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at the ladder now, I think they should have had finals.
Absolutely.
Like, to have just... Especially next year with North Melbourne and Geelong entering, there's going to be 10 teams. They at least have to have a final four. I think having a ladder this close... I know Melbourne last year just missed out by percentage. It's just really stiff for there not to be a final series.
I agree. I think it's farcical that they don't have at least a semi or another final. Like, it's just... if you want excitement and if you want to build... crowds at AFL women's games, have a final. Like, a final is going to draw crowds, it's going to blow up attention, the more teams competing. We've seen such an even season so far. So currently standing, it would be, let's say it's Melbourne. A 1-4 and 2-3, and then the winners play off each other in the grand final. It'd be Brisbane versus Carlton and Melbourne versus Western Bulldogs. And I just think, like, that, the idea of that would be absolutely amazing.
So do I, 100%. That's what... It needs.
Yeah.
And, apart from the Lightning shoot at Icon Park, Icon Park's the perfect stadium to host a big AFLW game.
It'd be awesome. I reckon even, I would support Cadinia Park or GMHBA.
Yeah, especially when Geelong enters. But I've got a feeling they're going to play at the stadium just outside Geelong.
What's that one?
Sorry,
the one next to it. Yeah, I think I know the one you mean.
I think they're just going to play. Because I remember I had to walk past the Geelong Stadium and, I felt the ego walking past.
Oh, really?
The Dangerfield Starwood. Like, you just felt the ego there. Yeah. But I love the stadium. Like, that's where the girls are going to play. They're going to play on that stadium.
Right, okay. I think if they wanted a premier, like if it was two Victorian teams facing off and they didn't want to have any kind of, or they didn't want anyone to have a home ground advantage, I just think GMHBA Stadium would be perfect.
Yeah.
I think people from Melbourne would travel down to Geelong and watch it. And it's just such a brand, like, it's a pretty awesome stadium. Good to watch it there.
I do feel, personally, I was talking about, like, last year, I honestly believe the AFL, the last thing they wanted was the two interstate teams play the grand final. They wanted two Victorian teams at Icon Park.
Yeah, definitely.
Or at Etihad Stadium playing in that grand final.
Yeah.
Instead, they got the Adelaide-Brisbane game, which was a great game.
Oh, fantastic.
Let's get to our votes.
I'll kick it off.
Yeah,
As I said earlier. It's a no-brainer to go Erin Phillips with the three votes. She was outstanding against my Western Bulldogs, kicking four goals and had a handful of touches. My next votes, I gave them to GWS player playing against her old team, Collingwood, Alicia Eva. She had 23 possessions in the Giants' first win of the season. And then for my last vote, it was a toss-up between Daisy Pierce and Cara Donnellan from Freo. And Cara Donnellan gets the one vote because Freo won in the end. And she had 18 possessions and laid 8 tackles, which was pretty outstanding. And it was an incredible win for the Dockers after their first quarter that was pretty bad.
It was, wasn't it?
What about yours, Liam?
Before the Freo game, mm-hmm. I had three LA players in my best.
Yeah, right.
I was thinking about putting Eva and Gum from GWS, and I was tossing up. I had Ebony Marinoff as my three votes.
Yep.
As much as Evan Phillips was good with her four goals, Marinoff had 21 touches,
mm-hmm.
15 tackles,
yep.
Four inside 50s, five rebound 50s, one hit out, two marks.
Right.
So I feel like her all-around game was more dominant than Erin Phillips. But the great lady herself, Erin Phillips, did not get missed out, kicking her four goals too.
Wow.
Absolute snag fest.
Yeah.
12 kicks, three marks, three inside 50s, goal of the year candidate.
Yeah, that was an incredible goal. That in the third quarter, chips were down, snaps it from the right pocket. It was outstanding.
And as they say, come with the moment, come with the champion.
Yes, big time.
Cara Donnellan gets my one vote.
Nice.
She absolutely stood up when the team needed her the most. When the game got going, she stood up. As much as Dana Hooker was probably his best in the last two rounds and Cara Donnellan's a bit quiet, she stood up like the leader that probably I wouldn't even say Fife isn't yet.
Yeah, right.
There's great captains on. I say the best captain in the AFL at the moment is probably Joel Starwood.
Yep.
Cara Donnellan is probably one of the best female captains in terms of getting players a lift. I know against Carlton last year in our early win, she was the one that got us over the line. And I believe, Cara Donnellan gets my vote because I honestly believe she's one of the best women players.
So Cara Donnellan, she is the captain of the Freo. Yep. Fair enough.
And you probably as well, I think the women's captains are probably more important than the men because look at Carlton about their captain.
Mm-hmm.
Doggies about your captain.
That's it. And it shows with Carlton losing Bree Davey last week, their captain, and now this week without Bree Davey, you saw that there was a massive shift in that they had pretty good defence, had pretty good forward, but they just didn't have Bree Davey off half-back coming and kicking it to the forward. So really, really missing that forward line. It'll be interesting to see how the Dogs go without Katie Brennan this week.
Let's jump straight into the AFLX, and what did you make of it?
It was the first round, like the first game in Adelaide was a bit of wasn't very fun. The skills were pretty bad, but I think it improved as the week went on. I feel like you said with the Mitch Robinson goal against with Brisbane, it was a little bit exciting. There were some things that were good, there were some things that weren't great, but I like the idea. I think like anything, it's going to have its anything that's new is going to have its teething issues, but I think it's got legs. I reckon it. I just don't know where I see it going in the future.
You even saw me post this on Twitter talking about how it reminds me of Gaelic football.
Yeah, right.
It really does. And like I remember, I actually went to Ireland last year and I actually watched the Gaelic football, and you shouldn't like Gaelic football.
Yeah, right.
I don't like the marking. I know that sounds silly. Because I know in Gaelic football, not the ones when they play the proper rules they play.
Yeah.
Is apart from a kick out, if you mark the ball, it's play on.
Right.
And
you'd like to see that.
Yeah, I just think it's meant to be a fast game, but it just slows it down when someone marks the ball.
Okay, I would disagree. I reckon if it's a game that we want to showcase all the best things about AFL, I think those big specky marks are probably the number one thing that they need to showcase, and I don't feel like they did that very well, other than like Majak Dawe sitting on top of, I can't remember who it was, pulled up a chair.
I don't even know what. Well, I know why we want to take it into international, but Americans don't care about taking NFL international.
True.
They love their own sport, their own spectacle.
In saying that, I think NFL has been dwindling of late. I remember that someone, I can't for the sake of me remember, but they were saying that their juniors numbers were decreasing, and a lot of fans to NBA, things like that. So I can see why the NFL's done what they've done, because they don't. They want to appeal to the young kids.
It's brilliant for young kids. But then one thing that did my head in, and I hated this.
Yeah.
If they wanted to showcase this new game, why didn't they showcase the game? I was sick of all the bloody interviews. And so many times someone kicked a goal, and most of these are new players, so you don't know their names. And, they kick a goal or a super goal, and it's like, oh, yeah, so how's your injury going? Yeah. Well, someone just kicks a super goal.
Yeah. I also agree with the interviews. It frustrated me because everyone that came off was like they'd been given a state, like a media, they'd been media trained. Just go,
yeah.
It's exciting. That was all you heard. The game was exciting. It was great. I wish someone had just come off and said.
Chris Fagan said he didn't like it. He said it probably doesn't connect the fans. And then his team went on and won. So.
Yeah. Weird stuff.
So I think Fagan should come in and be like, oh, I don't think the AFL premiership means anything.
Like, oh, actually, I was talking about AFL premiership.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about AFL.
Pretty much, yeah.
What would you like to change with the game? Obviously, it had a few issues, silver balls being one of them. They just chucked all those out straight away. There's probably a big box of silver footies just sitting in AFL house filled with thousands of silver ones.
Do they use a smaller ball?
I'm not sure.
Because I know the silver ball looked smaller. I don't know. It's hard to say what would work. Maybe more people, if you would. I do like the idea of having one person inside the 40.
Okay, so zones. I agree with the more players. I think having 9 people would create a little bit more congestion. And while they want to keep it free-flowing, I think a little bit of congestion is good because you can have a bit of tackling, a bit of bumping, and that's pretty interesting to watch.
I do like the idea of let people celebrate the goal, especially if you kick a super goal.
True.
As much as... I honestly don't understand the hype of some kicking from outside 40 metres, considering these players, should be kicking more than 40 metres anyways.
It's deceiving because it looks like they're kicking it from 60, 70 metres.
Like, at least...
what you're used to, but then you're like, it's only 40 metres.
At least Mitch Robertson's goal was probably a good, 55, 60 metres out when he...
Bruce, yeah.
Yeah, and Daniel Rich as well was made for those type of games. So a few players... the best bit of AFLW skill, well, one of the best happened, I think, the second game, Freo Port Adelaide. And there was only 2 players. Bradley Hill passed it off to Michael Walters. Michael Walters kicked it, and Bradley Hill went on through it and kicked a goal.
Yeah, right.
That's what they probably wanted the game to look like, as well as the super goal stuff, which happened in the second game.
Yeah. I definitely agree with what you were saying with the celebrations, because they kicked the goal, and because it's in straight away, I don't know, maybe they need to bring back the players have to wait until the flags have been waved before they can kick it in or something. I don't know. I don't know if you saw in the SANFL, they had a competition for the best celebration, won $5,000.
Oh, that guy who jumped the fence and did the... yeah.
So someone took the flags off the goal umpire and signalled his own goal, and someone ran off into the crowd and clapped his own goal. Maybe the AFL could do
something. Well, that's another issue. That's a completely different issue about AFL having... I think AFL only has one character at the present time.
Who's that?
Dangerfield.
Yeah.
And even Dangerfield gets hated for it. Like, I remember last year, when he did that head injury thing.
Yeah.
And people thought, oh, he's a bit of a wanker. Honestly thought, we've gone from the days of having, Derm.
Yeah, exactly.
Having a character is what AFL needs. Maybe the star power, it's like, I don't get why Gil McLaughlin was saying retired players, he wants retired players to play it. The whole point of the AFLX is to be fast.
Correct.
Retired players aren't fast.
Yeah,
Unless you're Boomer Harvey. He would be good. He would be good at AFLX.
Yeah, that'd be Boomer Harvey's like dream scenario. I feel sorry for the AFL because obviously they wanted star players. And it would have been incredible. Could you imagine watching Dangerfield go head-to-head with Fife or something like that?
Well,
it would have been really good.
I honestly believe that the reason why Fife pulled out is that Freo thought everyone would have a star player.
Yeah.
And the fact that no one had a star player.
Exactly.
But I do have to give credit to 17 of the 18 clubs because... Even though none of the players probably cared, but 17 of the 18 clubs pretended they cared, apart from your mob.
Western Bulldogs, we just didn't even try. We just said, like, "Here's our C grade." It wouldn't even be our VFL team. It was the probably the bottom seven and Jack Redpath.
Yeah, and you know Jack Redpath has only 50 games. I think he made up pretty much all your games.
30 games.
Really?
Jack Redpath, 30 games. He's had a horror run with injuries, but captained the team. And we got flogged.
Yeah, both Gold Coast and Sydney scored 88 against us.
Yeah, it was not great, but I don't know. I don't know whether Luke Beveridge is doing it because he is scared of injury or whether he's just doing it because he doesn't support the whole thing. Who knows? Luke Beveridge is an enigma.
That's true. And the one thing I didn't get as well, like I saw an article from WA Today saying Steph Giro from Fremantle is now into round one contention because he played good in the AFLX. You can't judge any player on how any player to play AFL on how they played AFLX.
Yeah. I also think like as much as it has issues and as much as it wasn't like the first game wasn't great, I also think it has been met with just unwarranted criticism. I think a lot of people are easy to jump onto it because it's something new and they hate it straight away.
Oh, yeah.
But I've watched endless games of JLT series where teams have fielded terrible teams and it's been not very fun to watch. There's been injuries and, you know, everyone will kick up a fuss and say, why do they even play JLT? So I hope that the AFL persists with AFLX, tinkers it a little bit, makes a few changes. And I hope that next year the clubs respond and play some good players because it's got the potential to, A, engage young players, young kids, and B, engage that international market. They can take that over to America and America will love the Super Bowl.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's a big one.
I know that because he said it like every 5 seconds. Oh, we'll have to take it to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
My biggest issue, this is with AFL players in general, actually. Mm. They're very set on their 22 games plus finals, and there's really no room for extra games. Like not many even want to play the JLT.
Mm.
I know I said yesterday when we were talking about the show that should AFL instead of doing State of Origin do a All Stars format type of thing, All Stars versus Victoria,
like they did in 2008.
Yeah, and I think have a bye week and have you know maybe the best under 22 players play against each other. Have the under 18 comp do it, the AFL women's do it.
Yeah.
A full weekend of just pure interstate versus Victoria footy. It's also like the NRL that do the Indigenous All Stars against the All Stars.
Mm.
We can easily have that.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, I'm in two minds about the whole State of Origin thing. I think it's easy to look at the rugby and say the State of Origin's great, but being selfish, I'm a bit like I don't want my players to get injured mid season.
But we don't have that core, like, you know, instead of Origin, you have New South Wales and Queensland, we have our WA, South Australia and Victoria.
Yeah. So maybe like the 2008 model.
That's what I mean, yeah, the All-Stars. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Just a weekend. But and I think players would enjoy it, you know. It would be good seeing Dangerfield, Martin on the same team.
True.
It would be really good seeing Dangerfield start with an Ablett. Oh, wait, no, that's happening already. That's Geelong's All-Star midfield.
Other massive news out of the week was Jordan De Goey's suspension blew 0.09 after a night out when he was driving, and he's got an indefinite suspension. He's got to pay $10,000 to the AFL.
And was made to go to Collingwood's team photo yesterday and did not look happy. Did not look like a happy lad.
Refused all questions with the AFL media. Mm. It's a shocking look for Jordan De Goey, and it's almost like I think it was exactly this time last year when the fiasco with his dog happened. For anyone that doesn't know, it's probably my favourite story from the AFL. Jordan De Goey broke his hand, told Nathan Buckley and told the Collingwood Football Club that it's because his dog bit it. So his dog bit his hand and that's why it was broken. And Nathan Buckley came out and supported him and said in a press conference, no, it's because he's broken his hand. When unfortunately, the media already knew that it was because he got into a fight that night and broke his hand. So Jordan DeGoey's got a lot of problems going on at the moment. Do we think Collingwood are obviously incredibly invested in him? They haven't gotten rid of him. If this was anyone else, like if it was a rookie or something, I think they would have got dropped straight away. But someone like Jordan DeGoey, who they use as a high pick, they sacrificed a lot for him, and I think they're just going to keep persisting and hopefully get that behaviour change.
Well, I know Collingwood eventually got rid of Chris Tarrant back in 07 because I was sick of what he was doing. It kind of reminds me of the Harley Bernal situation down at Fremantle.
Yeah.
As well as someone who keeps on stuffing up and keeps on getting chances, and you're like, how is he the person still there? If he was a rookie, he'd be gone. I think more... See, DeGoey has come out and said that, you know, he would never let Buckley down. He's done it twice now. The Bernal case is different. Bernal has Ross Lyon sticking up for, you know, Bernal. Bernal doesn't really say much.
Yeah.
Another one interesting one happened yesterday. Dry Sinkin from North Melbourne stepped in front of a motorbike while he was drunk.
Right.
So both of them, both DeGoey and Sinkin now has an alcohol ban. And to the end of the season. I know Gold Coast have an alcohol ban in general, like the entire club.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting one.
I just think that I had my mic off that
the entire time. Smooth.
Shout out to Tal for hitting me up, our faithful listener, and helping me out there. I don't know whether that... Someone suggested that they just ban alcohol for all players, which is an interesting one because they're adults and they've got to have their downtime. For every Jordan DeGoey, I think there is about... Oh, sorry, not for every Jordan DeGoey. For every Steve Johnson. So Steve Johnson in 2006 got done for jumping into a nightclub or something like that. And then Cats persisted with him. And then 2007, he was the Norm Smith medalist. So everyone looked at that and said, oh, well done by Geelong. For every Steve Johnson, though, I think there's... 3, 4, 5.
There's Reece Conker, a Richmond player.
Oh, really?
Reece Conker still plays for Richmond, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's a player for Richmond who a few years ago got dropped after, you know, persistent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know who you mean. Yeah. And Dustin Martin was with him, but Dustin Martin stayed.
Well, Dustin Martin might also be one of those stories as
well. Example, yeah, so I think it's a tough one because there's so many people that respond to this behavioural change, but I think there's the people that don't respond and unfortunately end up persisting. So, for example, the Hawks player that is now in jail is Garlett. It's a tough one, and I don't know whether Collingwood will get the best out of Jordan DeGoey. I hope they do. I think he has the hallmarks of a future. He's probably going to take Pendlebury's spot in the midfield, but... It's all about whether
It's an extremely tough one to even talk about because anyone knows how kind of one-sided Maguire is when it comes to his players.
Yeah, right.
You can just go back to the Rat Pack in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Every second week, one of them were in the media for doing something and did not get rid of them. Kept on with them. The guy's interesting, especially... I'll say next year, if he stuffs up again, especially with Buckley out of contract.
Yeah.
And if Collingwood don't play finals, I've got a feeling he'll probably with Buckley out the door.
It's unfortunate for Buckley because, I mean, he did get let down pretty big by Jordan DeGoey, and it was a bit like, I don't know, it was a betrayal, like giving him the wrong story and then him coming out to the media and saying it. Very embarrassing.
As we all know, starting on Saturday, the JLT starts with a unfortunate new rule. No super goals.
This is shattering. I don't know why they've gotten rid of the super goals. It's such a great thing about the JLT. It's been there since 2002.
What's the point now?
I know.
I know there was criticism last year because there wasn't many super goals in the game, but it was the main reason why people liked the AFL, the NAB Cup.
Yep.
I do think the fact that there is no cup to play for kind of ruined it. And
true.
I haven't been a fan of the no cup ever since like the NAB Challenge in 2013.
Yeah, I think it used to draw quite big crowds to the grand final at the end. It's a shame. But one of my favourite tweets I saw was from Mason Cox from Collingwood, who, for anyone that knows, has a basketball background in the United States, and he tweeted that with the AFL cutting out the Super Goal and JLT games, he was pretty keen to see them donate a random bag of footies to my college basketball team to see their reaction.
He is a funny man, Big Coxie.
They donate a bag of footies. It's very funny. All-Star Weekend was obviously last week, and it was hosted in LA, and we saw a new format for the All-Star game. So this format, instead of the traditional East All-Stars versus West All-Stars, it was
Curry All-Stars versus LeBron All-Stars,
which was really cool. And for anyone that doesn't know, so people could vote in whoever they wanted, and then top 10 would get picked, or top 8, sorry, and then Curry and LeBron would, like old school,
high school
star would pick their teams, which I thought was fantastic. Made it a really interesting All-Star game with Team LeBron winning it with one of the last plays, which was awesome. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
One, I thought Fergie's national anthem was interesting at best.
Very funny. And seeing all of the NBA players hiding their giggles was...
But why can't people sing a national anthem like a national anthem? Why does it have to be a solo song?
I don't know.
Sing it normally like we did at primary school.
Uh-huh.
Like, we didn't hit the high note. We didn't, we didn't go, Advance Australia Fair to keep it ongoing.
Yep.
Just sing a song normally.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I like Team Steph versus Team LeBron. I wasn't happy that Jimmy Butler was out with sickness. Means there was a spot on the bench for a certain Simmons.
It could have been Simmons.
Oh, the whole thing could have been Simmons, who played very well in the World versus America.
Yeah, he did.
It was a good game. Steph went down 145-148. A much more serious game than last year.
Mm.
Last year was a bit more, more mucking around. This one, they really got down to business.
Points scorers, so DeMar DeRozan put down 21 for Team Steph. Steph only put down 11 points, which was interesting as a guard.
And he was eating popcorn on the bench.
Was he?
Yeah.
There you go, maybe that's why. LeBron put down 29 points, had 10 rebounds and 8 assists, which was pretty outstanding from the forward. And going into the sort of the last little bit of the regular season, do we reckon Cleveland sort of the team
that could maybe win it. I did read something a bit interesting, and someone was just talking about how at the moment it's like when a team gets a new coach and they play good for the first 3 weeks, like when a coach gets sacked mid-season in football. I want to watch probably the next 10 games, and if they're still up, then maybe, but he expects to see him drop.
Right.
But I don't know, it's very... I still say the favourite's Golden State.
Yeah, 100%.
Even though the Houston Rockets have, I think, the highest point of any in history so far.
Wow, highest points.
Highest points to this point in the season.
Yeah, okay.
Houston
Rockets have won 44 and lost 13. Golden State have won 44 and lost 14. So they've only lost one more game. But Houston are on a 10-game win streak, which is pretty outstanding.
Mm.
The only other team that I could maybe think, the Spurs seem to always be there, thereabouts, at this time of the year, the playoff time of the year, they're a little bit off the Warriors. In the East, it's the Raptors up the top, 41 wins, 16 losses. Celtics, 40 wins, 19 losses.
Losing their last three,
and then Cavs, obviously, won their last four. They're 34-22, and they've got a bit of gusto, a bit of momentum behind them, which is exciting.
I got told, actually, that they might even be changing their final format.
Really?
Yes, to just the best 16. So I think it's going to be, not the end of the conference, but yeah.
Mm. I don't mind that.
I think a lot of talk is because the last few years, the two best teams have been in the East.
Yeah.
Usually the Spurs and the Golden State Warriors.
So more of like the way they do it now, but with no conferences. So like whoever finishes first might play whoever finishes 16th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually the two best teams even now, the two best teams are the Rockets and the Warriors, and you want your finals to be the two best teams.
Correct.
Not your best team in one conference and the third best team overall.
Yeah. It's a pretty radical move. Like, if they did that, I think it'd cause a lot of big stir, but I don't know. I kind of support it.
I think changing the All-Stars was kind of the start of doing it all. Oh, did you know the Ben Simmons thing got so bad that the NBA owner had to come out and be like, no, we don't hate Australia.
So Australia and American relations are at an all-time low because actually, of Ben Simmons not being
let
in.
Well, Michael Turnbull's actually going over to America. He's probably discussed Donald Trump about it. Like,
there was a local member for Parliament, and his name's completely slipped my mind. I think he's actually my member. But he used his question time in Parliament to question the decision why Ben Simmons was left out of the...
He spoke about it and he said it's good for the NBA having Australia talk about NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of talking about Curry and LeBron, you know, watching all these people walk around with a Curry jersey on the back, wow, true. You're a long-time Golden State fan, I like it.
Nice.
I mean, people actually probably talk about NBA, take an interest in NBA.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
Much better for the NBA than if he did make the All-Star team.
Exactly. Could you see, like, the AFL having a bit of an All-Star weekend?
Well, like we said
AFL
last segment.
AFLX, maybe,
yeah. AFLX.
They would just force the good players to play by saying it's an All-Star weekend.
I was watching, I was watching sport, and every sport I was watching, I was like, well, they should make an NBA X and, like, a five-point line, or they should make this X. Honestly, as much as I did like AFLX, it's a bit of a silly idea. It was a pointless game that we didn't need.
We've talked about AFLX to death, so let's talk a little bit about the Winter Olympics now. Bit of news, which this is my favourite news article, there was a Russian athlete that has been busted for doping, which is, it's expected these days. But the sport was the bit that got me, and it was in the cutthroat sport of curling. Which is just goes to show that doping has gotten into every single sport. We'll see doping now in chess, checkers, darts as well. But it was actually a Russian. It was a medalist. So the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics, they got a bronze medal. Alexander. Krunelichiki. I have absolutely butchered the name, but he was with his wife in the mixed doubles curling, and he was the dude that does the very awesome like throw at the start and strikes a pose afterwards. But tested positive for this melatonin, so it's the same drug that tennis player Maria Sharapova got done for, which I think it increases blood flow, which then improves exercise capacity in athletes.
Isn't that what Essendon took?
Don't know. I thought Essendon was AOD, so anti-obesity drug.
No, they took a blood doping drug.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but why would you doping curling? Like, what does it improve? Like, is he's a thrower, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't you want less strength?
I have no idea.
Because you don't want it to go further.
Yeah, the only thing I could think that someone would want in curling would be something that might slow your blood, like your heart rate or something like that, something to calm you down. But this is bizarre. I have no idea why or how this has happened. Doping is it's just going to corrupt all sports, not just the big ones.
Can't wait for, you know, little Timmy in under-10s to be tested positive.
Fantastic.
Now let's get to the medals. And we'll go to the top. We'll start from fourth to first. So you've got Netherlands on fourth with 6 gold, 5 silver, 3 bronze.
Yep.
Canada third after my spray a few weeks ago. Picked up their game.
They're always listening.
Yes. They win 5 silver, 6 gold. Germany are second. With 11 wins, 7 wins, sorry, 11 gold, 7 silver, and 5 bronze. And Norway, their first.
Amazing, Norway.
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
11 gold, 10 silver, 8 bronze. Absolutely killed it, Toba. They're 6 medals in front of Germany. They're absolutely.
And the United States are at 6.
Yes.
Other notable countries are Sweden at 7, and Australia.
Have a
21st. So we've got 3 medals, 2 silvers, and.
So much for the hype of, you know. We expect more medals than ever before. This is our best athlete ever.
It's an interesting one.
Like,
we
it's
are
our
very...
equal highest tally, but just have a gold.
We are very content with our, aren't we? Like, I think in 2002 we might have won,
two medals.
Then the next Winter Olympics we won 2, and then after that we won 3, and now we've won 3 again. So it's an upward trajectory, but I don't think... We're beating Finland, and Finland have a lot of snow, so I can't be too upset.
What's bigger, the Australian versus Finland winter sport rivalry or the Ashes? It's an argument as old as time, really.
If there isn't a rivalry yet, let's make one exist.
Yes.
We'll just start tweeting to Finnish people. and just start rubbing it in that we're two spots ahead of them on the medal tally. In other Olympic news, the daughter of the Australian Olympic gold medalist Nova Peris, Jessica Peris, has been forced out of the Commonwealth Games after a banned substance was detected.
Yes, they haven't said what substance it is yet.
No, Jessica Peris, for those that don't know, is an athletics sprinter. She sprints in the 200. And this is huge news going into the Gold Coast Olympics. And
her mother, if you don't know, was the first Indigenous woman to win a Olympic gold medal for the Kookaburras, I think in the 1986 Olympic... No.
Yeah, right.
1980-something Olympics. 1984 Olympics, I think it says.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so massive news coming out of there, and it's a pretty sour note on the end of what was going to be a pretty exciting campaign for
only
Paris.
A couple of weeks before the Commonwealth Games get started. And let's jump straight into it before we wrap things up with the A-League getting two new teams and possibly getting four teams by 2021.
This is crazy. So I had no idea of this about this until you told me. But awesome news for Tasmania. Awesome news for Geelong. I think it'll be really, really good. Exciting for the A-League.
Yes. Well, the McKillop, the former NRL guy, who's now the A-League guy, did say that Tasmania's pretty much all but said Tasmania is going to be a team. Maybe did a bit of a nudge to the AFL. Hey, look, we care about Tasmania.
It's like saying, look at that Hobart Hurricanes. They were pretty good. Yeah, they had crowds.
There's no A-League X here. We actually care about our Tasmania.
Correct.
Which I think, I do think soccer might be the sport to take over Tasmania.
Yeah, fair enough.
I do think, should be Canberra one of the teams since they already have a women's team? And they've had a women's team since the start.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Another team they talked about is another team in New Zealand.
Yep.
They talked about a team in Papua New Guinea.
Okay.
A team in Fiji.
Yeah.
As well
imagine
as...
Imagine that. A game in Fiji would be amazing.
I think Fiji actually just lost to New Zealand in the Oceania World Cup qualifying thing. So I'm guessing they're coming up as a nation.
Yep. And also, quick news before we bounce out of here, Big Bash League is going from 14 rounds... is going to 14 rounds next year. They're extending their season, which is...
After we said they probably should cut it down, they're extending it. Thank you for listening.
Big Bash, they're in an interesting space at the moment. Cricket traditionally sort of held strong through February. They were the main sport, and then AFL would come in with JLT probably around this time. But I feel like with the inclusion of AFL Women's, AFL has just become the premier sport back in Melbourne a lot earlier, and it's just kicked out cricket. So this is cricket fighting back. Whether or not it'll work, I don't think it will. I think Melbourne's just football mad, so everything is secondary to football in Melbourne, unfortunately.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much, Caleb.
Absolute pleasure.
Been an excellent show.
Yeah, it's great. Make sure you tune in on Friday for the preview of a big week of sport with Neve and Michael. And you can catch us again next Wednesday for all things politics.
Yes, on Zoom 9.7.